This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, yo, it's Chris Webby, and you are tuned into The Jake Brown Show.
And welcome to The Jake Brown Show on Radio.com, iTunes, and Spotify. Podcast.radio.com/Jake Brown. Subscribe on iTunes, rate it 5 stars, write a review, and Spotify as well. Follow me on Twitter at Jake Brown Radio, and follow the show at Jake Brown Show. Happy Hump Day, everyone. Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. I think it's past the point you say Happy New Year at this point. And we have a busy week. It was going to be much busier, but we moved a couple things around. It looks like Joe Giglio from WIP won't be on the show. He's having some phone issues, so he will not. But Maria Martin from Alabama, she's a reporter at WFSA in Alabama, will join us to talk about the national championship in Alabama coming back in the second half, one of the classic title games, to win it with a freshman backup quarterback. So a wild game there. We will talk about that. We'll also talk about the playoffs and the divisional round coming up. The wild card weekend came and went. Some okay games, nothing tremendous. I guess Saints Panthers was interesting. Jaguars Bills was just ugly. But the game of the week was clearly the Titans comeback against the Chiefs. The other three were nowhere near as good, despite the Panthers keeping it close. Titans-Chiefs was definitely the game of the week, and now the matchups are set, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Diet Coke is making changes with new flavors as their sales fall. And you better believe I'm drinking a Diet Coke right now as we speak. We will discuss that. And the national championship, Donald Trump, the man who said to stand all this time, and I hate talking about him, didn't even know the words to the national anthem. Oh, he looked like Tommy Wiseau in The Room. I mean, the words were not matching what was coming up. Oh, say can you, Hillary, by the dawn's early, grab her by the pussy. I mean, it is just like, what is he singing, man? It's like the Kids Bop version. I mean, Trump is messing up the national anthem that he wanted the players to stand for, that he was disgraced for. Know the words, bro. Know the words, man. I mean, that's just embarrassing. You can't be the damn president of the U.S. and not know the words to the national anthem. And you know they got the camera on you. At that point, if you don't know the words, I wouldn't even move your mouth. Because the fact that he said a couple words, stopped, and then would resume later makes you think that he just didn't know. I mean, where has he been? I mean, he's talking about guys kneeling and not showing respect, and then he can't even say the words of the song that he's talking about. So that started off the game with a bang, and it mixed cheers and boos, and obviously you're going to hear cheers. He's in the South. I mean, people love him down there, unfortunately, and it's in Atlanta. So you deal with it. He had a mix of cheers and boos. There's people happy's there, maybe rednecks happy's there, and then there's the people who are normal, who are not. So that's our political segment for the week. We'll stop there. Also joining us this week is Chris Webby, the rapper from Hofstra, from Connecticut. Great music, has a great new album out right now called Wednesday. We did it on a Wednesday. It'll drop tomorrow, Thursday, January 11th. 2018, and I'm only saying the year just so I keep getting in my head that's 2018, because we fill out job application stuff, it'll go back to the date you were last applied on that site or something, and it'll keep 2017 comes up, and then you write 2017 when you put the date in, so I got to get used to saying, so I'm just going to keep saying 2018. So Chris Webby joins us, that drops tomorrow. Maria Martin on the show today. Thomas Jones, we have moved to next week, the former Pro Bowl running back for the Jets, the Bears, the Bucks. He will join us on next week's show. But first, we got to start off with the playoffs, and we had 28-3 last year with the Falcons losing to the Patriots in the Super Bowl on my birthday last year. And now we have the 21-3 debacle this year as the Chiefs just collapse. And they don't run the ball with Kareem Hunt. And they find their way eliminated at home to a mediocre Titans team that only got squeaked into the playoffs because of certain scenarios and them having to win their last game against the Jaguars. Were the refs bad? Of course. Jeff Triplett was so bad that he retired from the NFL after his awfully officiated game. But with that being said, the Chiefs have to find a way to not get shut out in the second half. This was 21-3 at halftime, 21-3 going to the third quarter, and they didn't get another point. The Titans ended up winning 22-21 before their bloodbath in Foxborough coming up this weekend. Saturday, 8:15, will be the bloodbath. And the Chiefs were the one team outside of the Steelers and the Patriots that I looked at, you know what, maybe they have a shot to make some noise, to surprise people. Maybe. If there was one team, it's the Chiefs. They beat the Patriots in week one. They ended the season hot. They started the season hot. So you thought them coming in hot and they'd be good. And sure, they looked great. And then the second half came and they just collapsed. And how you don't run it with Kareem Hunt and kill clock and use the offensive rookie of the year, potentially, you can call him. He is. I mean, he was the leading rusher. How you don't use him more than he did is just inexcusable. And Andy Reid fails when it matters most on a Chiefs team that was good enough to do some damage, and then they didn't. They lose to the Titans. It was a heck of a game to watch, a heck of a comeback. But now the Titans have to go to Foxborough and pray to the Lord above that they'll have a chance against the Patriots. Will they? Probably not. It's just so hard to imagine this Titans team and how inconsistent they look at times and how Marcus Mariota could still make some bad decisions. And remember, this is only his first playoff appearance. He has never been to the playoffs until now. So this is all new to him. And now he's going to take on Belichick and Brady and all the rumors with them. And they're staying. Belichick isn't going to the Giants. Brady isn't going anywhere. They'll both be back. It's a typical clickbait story for the Patriots in January. This one didn't involve them cheating. It involved them having some controversy off the field with guys not getting along and with Brady being giddy about Jimmy Garoppolo getting traded. And you better believe he's giddy. It's job security, man. When someone gets fired that has a chance to replace you, when someone moves to another company and work that had a chance to replace you, you're going to be giddy. You're going to feel an extra load off your back. And in this case, Brady was probably happy. He obviously denied the report because, of course, he's going to deny that. But that part of it, you believe. And the whole Belichick's going to leave part, you don't believe. The controversy over Brady's trainer and the Patriots trainer, you do believe, because that does seem like a controversial thing to go down in the locker room. You have Patriots players going to Tom Brady's trainer when they probably should have went to the team trainer. That pissed Belichick off, pissed Kraft off. And then they're like, oh, wait, we have Tom Brady. We have the GOAT. So there's not much we can do. But it is a very sticky situation. It's a weird situation when you have teammates calling your quarterback sir and treating him like he's Oprah and you're peasants. And I had to say Oprah just because of her remarkable Golden Globe speech that had every woman and probably some men in America giving her a standing ovation from their couch. I mean, Oprah is just a legend, an icon. And that speech is pretty motivational. I wanted her to run through a wall. Like, that had me pumped. But the Patriots are in a position where the time is not at their favor when it comes to Tom Brady. I know he wants to play till he's 45, but he's going to break down. It's just the body. I don't care if he has the TB12, the ABCs, the DEFs. It doesn't matter what program he does. It's just how your body reacts. And he might not play till he's 45. He might have a couple years left in him for sure. But the Patriots are going to have to figure out what their plan is. When will they potentially draft a quarterback? Because Brian Hoyer is obviously not going to be taking over. They trade away Brissett. They get a mediocre receiver. They trade away Garoppolo. They get a second-round pick. We'll see if they use that second-round pick on a quarterback this year. And it killed, and you know it killed Belichick, that Garoppolo is gone. I mean, it's Jimmy freaking Garoppolo. The guy is the king right now. Jimmy Garoppolo is the reason that some people are picking the 49ers to potentially get to the Super Bowl next year. And I'm not even kidding. He has transformed the hopes for that franchise into a believer that they could do something next year. I mean, heck, he didn't lose a game when he stepped on the field this year. And they played a couple good teams. So, yeah, the Patriots, they're just going to take care of business, though, as they continue to do. And they'll do that on Saturday against the Titans, as that is the prime time game, 8 o'clock. Saturday, Eagles-Falcons is 4:35, Patriots-Titans at 8. Steelers-Jaguars Sunday at 1. And Vikings Saints at 4:40. The other games, the Falcons, they'll go to Philly and face the Eagles. And the Falcons, you know what? They took care of business against the Rams. And the Rams are a new, young team trying to make something happen in January, and they just didn't have it. Their offense didn't have it. And the Falcons are playing with the chip on their shoulder of we want revenge. This is their revenge tour. This is a team that is good enough as a six seed to get in, to get into the Super Bowl. They have a shot, and they have a favorable matchup against Nick Foles here in Philly and the Eagles, who have regressed, obviously, as you would expect, since Carson Wentz has been out. So this is really a chance for the Falcons here to potentially get another winnable game. They face a young Rams team that's beatable. They'll face an Eagles team with Nick Foles that is beatable. And then they're going to face the winner of what, in my opinion, is the game of the week in Vikings-Saints in Minnesota. So they'll have one tough matchup. If they do beat the Eagles, they'll have one tough matchup as the winner of Vikings-Saints. And if it's Minnesota, I mean, either way, they would be on the road. But if it's Minnesota, Minnesota's got that we want a home Super Bowl mentality. So they might be looking ahead, and they also might be extra motivated to get there. But the Falcons got by the Rams easily, 26-13. That game was not that entertaining. They made it look pretty simple. And this Falcons team is dynamic, man. They are tough. And it's interesting because Matt Ryan has gone 7 straight games without having multiple touchdown passes. But Freeman and Coleman are getting it done. And Matt Bryan is, and this is what I continue to say about kickers. People overlook how important it is to have a tremendous kicker. Matt Bryan went from owning a pawn shop to getting to the NFL, and he has developed into one of the best kickers in the league and a guy who can make it from 50-plus. The Patriots, Gostkowski, one of the best kickers in the league. The Saints, Lutz. Not an experienced kicker, but had a nice season, and a guy that they do trust. The Steelers, Boswell, reliable kicker. Not, I wouldn't say he's top 3, maybe not even top 5, but he's a tremendous kicker. Again, big-time kicker. The Jaguars, they won't get the job done because they have a Lambo, and we're not talking about the car. And I know I've debated some of my friends on Twitter about this. We know what the Jaguars did to the Steelers in Week 5. We know that they won 39. We know that Big Ben threw 5 picks. We know it was in Pittsburgh. And we know the Steelers had their whole roster intact then. Oh, but Jake, it's the same teams. Shazier's out. What makes you think that the Jaguars don't stand a chance? This is the freaking playoffs, man. This is a new ball game. One, it's going to be a lot colder than it was in Pittsburgh then. So you're not going to see what we saw then. This is it was winter. That was the first week of October. I mean, that's summer compared to now. Although it feels like summer outside now at 40 degrees. I mean, you can walk around without gloves on. So that kicker angle you have to look at is very important. That's why the Falcons have a big shot, because they trust Matt Bryan. When Matt Bryan needs, if he needs to make a 56-yarder to win it for them, they're going to let him do it. They're not going to punt it away. They're not going to go for it on fourth and long. They will let him kick it for the win. And those situations are make or break. And I'd say the Titans, they have trust in Ryan Succop. He's a solid enough kicker that they trust him. And he helped them against the Chiefs. The Jaguars-Bills game sucked. I mean, it was a defensive battle. It was sloppy. I told you it was going to be sloppy. And it was sloppier than sloppy. And it was 10-3 final. And it sucks for, I mean, Bills Mafia and Bills fans. Your season came down to Nathan Peterman. I mean, Nathan freaking Peterman. And he did what he did best, and he threw a pick. Poor, poor Nathan Peterman. I mean, this guy cannot catch a break. He comes in and just throws a pick in the biggest spot. He had a 4th-and-3 that he ran and got it, and you're like, oh, my God, Nathan Peterman could go down in Bills history. And they lose Tyrod Taylor at the worst time with a concussion. And they lose. They had their chances. They failed in the red zone, and it's going to bite you. It's going to come back and bite you, and the Jaguars' defense is so good. But I'm telling you, I just cannot. I know the Jaguars' defense is good, but I cannot trust their offense to do enough in Pittsburgh on Sunday at 1 o'clock. I just can't trust Blake Bortles enough. He has just looked atrocious the last couple of games, to the point where you're thinking, how did they get here? And then you realize you had the number one defense, and defense wins games. And I know defense wins championship is the saying, but defense does not win championships when Jadeveon Clowney's right and you have a trash quarterback. And I can't trust Bortles to get the job done. In the other game, the Saints beat the Panthers 31-26. Cam Newton just has to do too much. And the Saints are just too explosive. I mean, give the Panthers credit. They put up a fight. But Breeze, 376 yards, 2 touchdowns. And they get the job done. And they had to have Breeze this time because their running game, for once, didn't do much. I mean, Kamara and Ingram had 19 carries for just 45 yards and the Kamara touchdown. So it was led a lot on the shoulders of Drew Brees, and he got the job done. And their defense got the job done. This is the Jake Brown Show, radio.com, iTunes, Spotify. So let's preview these games. We gave you the overview of what happened. Now what is going to happen? And we'll do it in order of the game, so they start Eagles-Falcons, 4:30 on Saturday, the 1 versus the 6. Now, the Eagles playing with Nick Foles. The Falcons in Philly are 3-point favorites. The over-under is 41. And we said Matt Ryan has gone 7 straight games without multiple touchdowns. Foles, who had a good performance against the Giants, was just dreadful against the Raiders and Cowboys, which has Eagles fans worried, as they are home at home throughout the playoffs. If they win this, they'll have a home playoff game, NFC Championship. But they have just missed the explosiveness and the versatility that they had with Carson Wentz. Jay Ajayi is going to need to put on a show. They have to establish the run game, because when Nick Foles has too much time in the pocket, bad things happen. The Falcons want them to have a long drive. The Falcons are going to say, hey, you eat that clock, but you try and get that in the end zone. And the Falcons need to do this. They need to tire out that Eagles defense. They need Freeman and they need Coleman to dominate the ground game. And they need them to eat that clock, get the defense tired, and then keep having them out there. They got to go no huddle sometimes. And they got to attack Foles. If they just attack Foles and they eat that clock up, they should win this game in Philly. And they get the favorable matchup. Update, by the way, Steph Curry had a sprained right ankle and was out tonight. So another Curry injury to watch out for. But I'm taking the Falcons. I think the Falcons are grooving right now, and I can't give Nick Foles a chance at a win. I'm going to go Falcons winning this game here. We'll say 24-17. I think they win by a touchdown and get the job done. I don't see the Eagles offense having enough, and you feel for them. I mean, this was a Super Bowl contender with Carson Wentz, and without him, they're a pretender. Foles has a lot to prove to us coming up in this one. The next game is the 8 o'clock. I said the Patriots aren't losing. They're playing the Titans. I mean, they have a no shot. If this was Chiefs-Patriots, I'd be excited. It'd be one of the games of the weekend. Patriots-Titans, probably the worst of the weekend. It might be the worst. So the Patriots are going to win this. It'll blow out. I see them just dominating this game throughout. And it's going to be something like a 27-17, maybe, somewhere around there. But I would be absolutely stunned if they find a way to lose this game. But give the Titans a lot of credit for even getting here. I mean, I know we're all surprised by that. The Patriots are 13-point favorites. What did I say? I said 27-17. I think the Titans will get a garbage time score to make it a 10-point game. But 27-17, I think they'll win. The 13-point playoff favorite, that just shows you that is nuts. I mean, 13 points in the playoffs. That's like a regular season's line. Over-under is 47. So 27-17, that would put it at the under. And the Titans, I say cover, I guess. At plus 13, I think they'll cover. But that one will probably be the least intriguing game. And now that I say that, you know it's going to be the most intriguing. I mean, just pick the opposite of me here. One, I don't think I mentioned, but I won my Survivor pool all 17 weeks of the season. Pretty impressive, I must say. $550. It took 1 week where the four that were left, me and three other people, all took the Chiefs and they lost, the game that they lost to the Giants, and we were all back in it. So technically I was out a week, but everyone else was, so I got lucky. But, yeah, I won that, and I won one of three fantasy championships. So not a bad lost two fantasy. One, I didn't make the playoffs. The other, I lost in the first round of the playoffs. But I'll take one for three, and I'll take a Survivor pool. Yeah, Patriots all over them. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Steelers, Jaguars. I know what everyone says. 30-9, five picks. It's a different season. And I should not say they've zero zilch chance, which I tweeted that the Jaguars don't have a chance. And the Steelers here are 7-point favorites. Over-under is 40.5. But at home, they have such an edge here in the playoffs. And Juju Smith-Schuster has emerged as a huge threat, and he's their third receiver. And it puts Martavis Bryant in some favorable situations against corners, and they're dangerous. Now that they have that third receiver, that does change things from what week six was, week five. It really does. And you kind of got to throw those stats out the window, honestly. I just think that game, it's just different. And Mike Tomlin said that the Steelers have evolved since their Week 5 loss to the Jaguars, and I think they really have. That was a 3-2 team. Now they're a 13-3 team. That's two different stories. I mean, since that game, they went 10-1. So you better believe they've evolved. I think it'll be another ugly game. Any Jaguar game, I feel like, is ugly just because of the defensive touchdowns and everything. So I think it will be a little ugly. I think the Steelers do cover. I'm going to say they win this game 23-13. I think they win by 10. And I think the Jaguars offense just doesn't have enough for them. And I think the Steelers defense will come after Blake Bortles. And they'll contain Fournette enough to get this done. The only way I see this coming close is if the Jaguars can have multiple defensive touchdowns, then this game gets interesting. And we've seen them do it before, the number one defense. But, you know, the Steelers defense, you have to remember, they finished one sack ahead of the Jaguars in the regular season to lead the league. So everyone wants to talk about Saxonville. The Steelers had 56 sacks. The Jaguars had 55. And if Pittsburgh just takes care of Leonard Fournette, Borrell's going to have trouble getting down the field. And Antonio Brown is healthy. I mean, you saw the videos of him schooling Ocho Cinco, who's in the Flag Football League that we talked about with Donovan Darius last week. He's here. He's back. And I surely believe that Antonio Brown will get the job done and have another big 100-plus yard game against a good Jaguars defense. And they got two good corners, two Pro Bowl corners, and Boye and Ramsey. That will give them fits, but these are two elite receivers. And then, oh, by the way, Juju Smith-Schuster. And, oh, by the way, some guy named Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. No chance, Jaguars. 23-13. Finally, the game of the week, in my opinion, in Minnesota, the Vikings and the Saints, Sunday at 4:40, is going to be a dandy. The tremendous Saints offense with Drew Brees and the run game in Kamara and Ingram versus the Vikings, whose defense has helped carry them, and a backup quarterback in Case Keenum, who's about to get paid Friday night. Just got paid. And this is going to be a great one. And this is a tough one to predict because these are, in my opinion, probably two evenly matched teams. The Saints defense has found an identity a little bit more, which is what they've missed in the past. And Marshawn Lattimore, obviously defensive rookie of the year, he's been remarkable, getting picks left and right. The spread in this game is 4. The Vikings are favored by 4. And, oh, man, part of me wants to pick the Saints, but I just think the fact that the Vikings defense and the fact that they're going to have a home field if the Eagles lose next week and home field if they get to the Super Bowl is something that's hard to deny. And Keenum, I believe in him. And I think he just needs to do enough to get the job done, and the defense will do the rest. Adam Thielen's been terrific. They've been a great little 1-2 punch. And obviously Diggs and Latavius Murray living up to the deal he signed after he struggled at first. And I trust him. Kyle Rudolph, I think this is – the Vikings have a really good chance. But I think this is going to be a dogfight, man. And I think it's going to possibly come down to Kai Forbath. And we talked about great kickers. He is one of a mediocre kickers in the league. And they need him to come up big with a field goal at home. He's got to kick it, and he's got to make it. We've seen him as chippies. He's much better than Blair. He's better than Blair Walsh, which isn't saying much. But they need Kai Forbath to make a field goal because that's what this game's going to come down to. And the Vikings have given up the fewest points and yards in the league. And they got two first-team all-pros in the secondary. Oh, yeah. And they got two Pro Bowlers, the linebackers. And Everson Griffin and Anthony Barr. So the Saints have their work cut out for them. And they're beatable against this Vikings studly defense. So I'll take the Vikings to win this home game. Oh, man, I think it's going to probably be a shootout, honestly. And I think it's going to be something like a 27-24 or 30-27. I'll go with 27-24. I think Forbath nails a field goal to help the Vikings win this thing. 27-24. So I think the Saints cover, I guess you could say, the +4. And the over-under is 45.5, so I'll say it goes over. So 27-24 Saints, Vikings, which makes us have a Vikings-Falcons NFC Championship, which will be a doozy. And the AFC Championship will be the, what everyone expects, the Steelers and the Pats. It was written before the playoffs started. It was written down once the Chiefs lost, and now you'll write it down again. No surprise there. I guess you could you don't call the Falcons a surprise because they're favored. And you don't call the Vikings a surprise because they're favored. So I'm not going with any surprise. I'm going with the chalk. Seed-wise, Falcons is an upset. But with Nick Foles, you give the Falcons the edge. So I expect some better games this weekend. I like some of these matchups. Mostly the NFC. I think those will be good ones. I said Titans, Patriots won't be great. And I think Jaguars will be interesting. They will lose, but I think their defense will make it interesting. But Blake Bortles will be tough to watch on the road in Pittsburgh in January. Let's see if he proves us wrong. Let's see if the Jaguars shock the world. But I'm looking forward to another playoff weekend. This is the Jake Brown Show, radio.com, iTunes, and Spotify. Maria Martin is joining us in just a bit from Alabama. She was there at the national championship game. And tomorrow, Chris Webby, rapper. You might know him from Connecticut, the 203, from Hofstra. He's got a new album out that's dope. And really a tremendous interview, one I enjoyed. It was like 30 minutes, and we talked about being an independent rapper and kind of not worrying about making hits and making big-time songs that are going to end up on the radio, and him not listening to songs that are out there and not, I guess not saying succumbing to what's there, but not worrying about what everyone else is doing and doing his own thing. So really good interview with I love to hear from the independent guys. And obviously we share a lot in common, both being superstar rappers and everything and, and being from Connecticut. And I told him we made a song, Welcome to the Hop. I didn't freestyle battle him. I'm not feeling great today, and I'm not in the mood to just get destroyed. and it was a long interview. I didn't want to keep him to do a freestyle. I feel like he wants that stuff on his records. He didn't want to get rid of stuff on a podcast. What else is going on in the world right now? We're going to talk about the diet. You know, let's talk about it now, Diet Coke. By the way, in other some nuggets, Matt Patricia, the Patriots defensive coordinator, favors the Giants over the Lions in their head coaching search. I think if it's a Belichick breed, I think it's a good move for the Giants. I think he'll be a winner. Obviously, a first-time head coach, so you had that issue with Ben McAdoo. It didn't work out, so now you try with another guy. But Patricia, learning from Belichick, you have to imagine he's got some tricks up his sleeve that could help the Giants. The Pirates, Astros reportedly were working on a Garrett Cole trade. Don't think that's going to happen. An MLB agent accused of using a hidden camera to record players in the shower. That is just alarming news. Agent Jason Wood has been fired by Career Sports Entertainment, suspended by the Major League Baseball Players Association. The union will investigate allegations to the use of him of a hidden camera. He represented Andrew Benintendi, amongst other major leaguers. That is some creepy stuff. That's some Harvey Weinstein-esque stuff going on there. Diet Coke, the world-famous Diet Coke, everyone loves themselves a little Diet Coke, is making changes, new flavors and designs. I mean, what happened to the OG? I like a little regular Diet Coke. But now, Coca-Cola announced Wednesday it is changing Diet Coke's design and rolling out a new marketing campaign for the beverage. The company is also launching new Diet Coke flavors, including Feisty Cherry. I like Cherry Coke, so if that's something like that, that could be interesting. And Twisted Mango, but keeping the classic Diet Coke unchanged. Well, that's good. Diet Coke has struggled in recent years with sales dropping 1.9% in 2016. Pat Ananetti behind the boards. Pat, what do you think about this? I think it's good that they're keeping the original, but are you going to invest in anything like a ginger lime, a twisted mango, a zesty blood orange, or a feisty cherry Diet Coke?
I won't. I don't drink Diet Coke.
Well, you just brought nothing to this debate. God,
sorry. I drink the other brand, and I drink regular.
You drink Pepsi?
I drink Pepsi. I prefer Pepsi. But you know what? Some of the flavors may be good. I mean, if you're into Diet Coke and you want a flavor, I do like Cherry Coke, Wild Cherry
I would
Pepsi.
Not like Twisted Mango, I feel
I
like.
I think the
that
lime
sounds nasty.
The lime is big. It's popular.
I don't get the people love lime, like Bud Light Lime and stuff. Yeah, I don't
actually,
understand
I like I do like Bud Light Lime. I do not drink a lot of commercial beer, but in the summer, Bud Light Lime hits the spot.
I would maybe drink the Feisty Cherry. I don't know how I feel about Zesty Blood Orange, Twisted Mango, and Ginger Lime. Maybe the orange if it tastes like orange soda, but I might try the Feisty Cherry, but the other ones don't intrigue
me. Ginger Lime, no? I
no,
can see that being
me.
A hit, though, because people like the
people
lime.
People love the lime.
People
I don't
love
get
the
it.
Lime.
It's
they
like
love
sushi.
The vanilla.
People
yeah.
love, chicks
yeah.
love sushi. and I don't know. I'm going to stick to the OG. Maybe I'll try the cherry, but I don't. I think it's changed because people are saying their soda is just people are worried with their health. I mean, I don't care because I'm fat lard. But since 2005, diet soda sales have dropped a whopping 34%. Wow. That is a lot over the course of the last now 13 years. It's crazy to think that 2005 was 13 years ago. I'm just thinking of Carlos Beltran having a big year with the Mets. I've been to the Coke Zero. I like the cherry Coke Zero that I get at the movie theaters when you go pick your drink at the AMC theater.
How is the new taste? Because I know they say they changed the taste.
Really. I don't know.
They say they changed the taste, and I'm gonna say that I thought the Coke Zero had an aftertaste, and I did not care for it. But I do love Pepsi Max.
Pepsi Max is the same thing as Coke Zero, basically. I like
but
Pepsi
there's no
Max.
There's no aftertaste. You're right. It's so good.
Is
you don't
there
have
an aftertaste?
It's too good for the word zero, so they call
people
it Pepsi
listening,
Max.
All seven of you, can you let us know, is there an aftertaste to Coke Zero? I haven't really thought about it. I just drink it, so maybe next time I'll observe more if there's an aftertaste. But I like Pepsi Max, but I think diet, it's weird because I was always a Coke guy, but then once I figured out Diet Coke zero calories and my mom, that's like all she drinks, was Diet Coke, I made the switch, and it's been a seamless transition. I think I've enjoyed Diet Coke, and it's sad that I feel healthier drinking Diet Coke versus Coke, and it really doesn't make much of a difference, but it is zero calories, yeah. So it is, I'm cutting out the calories. And it's weird when I go back to Coke, it's like, wow, this world has changed. Like, it's a completely different world when you go back. It's like when one of my damn roommates gets Scott's tissue, the Scott's over Charmin, I get Charmin. No. I started with Scott's, went to Charmin, and we'll never go back to Scott. And then she gets Scott, I'm like, God, my ass is going to bleed again now.
Oh, Charmin. It's just and like, their jingles are just amazing, too, by
yeah,
the way.
Forget the jingle, it's just I'm soft. Just
saying, it is, but it's right. They stand by their word.
I didn't realize. So it's like, so going back to Scott is like me going back to Coke, it's just weird, except I enjoy Coke much more than I do Scott when I wipe my ass. So I will say that I'll try the cherry, but I don't know about the other ones. This is the Jake Brown Show, radio.com, iTunes, and Spotify. What else is going on? We talked the playoffs, the national championship. We'll talk about it with Maria, but Tua comes in there. Tua T, we'll call him, and as a freshman, lefty flamethrower, throws the touchdown pass in overtime to capture the comeback, and just imagine the Alabama Crimson Tide almost were not even in the position to make it. They do, and they win it. And Nick Saban's the greatest coach of all time. He's done it. He's the greatest that ever is. So he gets the job done, and Alabama wins yet another one. And it's kind of old. It's like the Yankees. It's like just another title. And I'm not the biggest college football fan. I watched the game, and it was a tremendous game, but there's something's got to change. There's got to be less bowl games. There's just too many. I'm in favor of a 6 or 8 team playoff where you could get rid of some of these bowl games and instead focus in on those 3 or 4 big time games and then maybe a couple others. But I know there's so many teams in the nation and they want to give everyone a shot, but it's just become so sponsor based and to the Meineke Car Care Bowl and the Chick-fil-A Bowl and all these sponsored bowl games. And I think there should be more of a heavily importance on a playoff like a March Madness. I'm not saying there should be 64 teams. That's ridiculous. But something where there's kind of a bracket that adds some fun and adds an element to it. I think that people will enjoy that.
Real quick, don't you think that even if they add 6 or 8, there's always going to be people saying, oh, you should have added 9 and 10.
Of course.
And you mentioned the March Madness, and you had 68 teams, and people still like,
no,
this school should have got in, or that school should have got in.
Well, that's always going to happen. That's just logistics. But I think expanding from 4 will make it more fun for the fans versus having these bowl games that no one gives a flying you-know-what about, and stars who are going to go to the NFL draft aren't even playing. These kids don't even care. They're like, I don't want to risk injury for my client, the agents will say. How about this? Cut those meaningless bowl games. Have a couple here and there, but don't have 30 bowl games and then the 2 playoffs. Have like 4 playoff games and then they face off in like an 8-team bracket, a 16 bracket. I know there'll still be teams left out, but it'll make it much more intriguing. I think this 4-team playoff was definitely a step in the right direction. But I think there's teams that were left out, maybe in Ohio State and a couple of the other teams that could have gave some of these teams a run for their money. But in the end, the cream of the crop won that almost didn't get there. Think about it. Alabama was the 4th team that got in, and they made it I mean, they didn't make it look easy. They made it very tough getting by. The first time, they did make it look easy. But that was that. Chris Webby joining us tomorrow. Coming up next on the Jake Brown Show is Maria Martin. She'll talk about being there at the Georgia Dome in a classic championship game where Alabama came back to beat Georgia in their building, essentially, in their state, to get it done. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and Spotify and give us a follow at Jake Brown Radio, at Jake Brown Show. Chris Webby tomorrow, Thomas Jones, and more guests to be announced next week. But next is Maria Martin, fresh from Alabama. Peace.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back on the Jake Brown Show on Radio.com, iTunes, and Spotify. Headed down to Sweet Home, Alabama. Every time I think of that, I think of Ruben Studdard and his 205 jersey, which also happens to be my birthday. And Ruben Studdard, one of the great products out of Alabama. Another person in Alabama right now is Maria Martin. She's a sports reporter at WSFA down in Alabama, and she was there for the classic national championship. Maria, appreciate you coming on. How you doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How is that experience? I mean, I don't know if we call it the greatest. Maybe you do, but it's up there for sure in the top three. I can't imagine the atmosphere couldn't get much better.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys saw, the first half of the game was a little bit slow, and then when you think that Alabama is dead and buried, they're resurrected in the second half, and it was just, wow, I mean, it was an unbelievable experience. I think definitely top three for sure. Classic is definitely the word that I would also use to describe it. I think it was an instant classic of just what a storybook ending, and, you know, what better way for Nick Saban to catch Bear Bryant than to prove that he is one of the best coaches, and I think that he had to do that in that game to be able to win it, and he absolutely did that. So it's been a crazy experience. I'm still kind of recovering. I had 3 hours of sleep in 2 days. I left Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 7 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Finally went to bed, slept for a little bit, got up, and had to finish my work. But it was wild. The atmosphere was unbelievable from all the people that attended the game just to the second half alone. It was definitely one of the best games I've ever covered. And attended, for sure.
So I would hope you got like 24 straight hours of sleep, maybe with a cup of coffee in between or something.
I'm drinking coffee right now, and it's 1:30 here in Alabama. So, I mean, it definitely am still recovering, that's for sure. I slept probably 11 hours yesterday, but it's not enough. But it's okay. It's all worth it. It was a great game.
11 hours is a good sleep. Like, I can't go past like 7 or 8 consecutive. Some people will sleep 12 straight hours, and I'm like, don't you have to pee? Like, don't you have to get up at some point?
Don't you have to eat? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's like 12. That's half of a day of just sleep.
Yeah, that's so much.
I guess I've done it at some point, but it probably came after a long night of drinking or something. is Nick Saban the GOAT? I mean, that's the talk now. It seems like he's the best to ever do it. What do you think?
I mean, it's really hard to dispute. You know, this is such a different time in college football, and it doesn't take anything away from Bill Bryan, I don't think, because what he did in his tenure at Alabama was absolutely incredible. But the game has evolved so much, and it's such a different time. And I think that Nick Saban has been so successful because he's been able to grow with the game. The game changes every year for college football. It's evolved so much from the time he started coaching. So, you know, to me, it's hard to dispute that he is the greatest of all time. When I was in the locker room after the game, I kind of picked at some of the players. I was trying to get some stuff out of them. They won't admit it. They just say that he's their favorite coach of all time. But it's really hard to dispute it now at this point. And, you know, like I said before, the way in which he was able to execute the game and come back from a 13-point deficit and do what he had to do to win against Georgia on Monday, I think it's very hard to dispute that.
How shocked were you being there firsthand that Jalen Hurts got pulled and they went with the freshman in Tua Tagovailoa? Viola, I guess.
Tonga Viola.
How shocked were you by that move?
Very shocked. And I'm glad you asked me because, so the people that have to cover the national championship, we are in a room, typically, unless you're in the press box, which I was in the press box for the first half. Second half, I was in a room right outside of the field, and we're all watching it. We see Tua come in, and I can't tell. It's filled with Alabama media, the room that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And just the shock and the screams and everything was like, everyone was saying, oh, my gosh, is Tua really out there? It was a big shock, you know, when you pull a 25-2 starter. But you have to give Nick Saban a lot of credit. But also it was a huge risk because what if Tua went out there? And it's not like he hasn't seen playing time this season. He had, but he had never seen playing time where the Tide was trailing at any point this year.
Mm-hmm.
If he went in at all in any of the games, especially the first 5 weeks of the season, they had already been up by certain. They were blowing out opponents that they put Tua in, give Jalen some rest. So he had experience, but when you put him on the biggest platform of his career, I mean, he is so young, and you put him out there, you put him in a serious position to risk it all, and you've got to come back from, again, a 13-point deficit. So to be able to put that trust in him, and I will say this about Jalen, he's always cool, calm, and collected, but what he did with Tua after he was pulled was remarkable. You saw him, I'm sure, during the game at the broadcast, pumping him up, telling him things, and being really supportive. That's how they are. And he even told me, he said, Jalen told me, that I knew he could do it. I just said to him, just play your game, just be yourself. Don't let anything else get in the way. Just do you, and we'll be fine. And none of the other players were shocked by his performance as well because Tua does this in practice every single day.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder for us to see it because we haven't seen him do anything even close to what he did in the national championship because he never had to come back from a deficit. But the shock was real. I couldn't believe it. I think just because you have no idea if it's going to work or not. With a kid who's 18, 19 years old, you put him in over a 25-2 starter, but clearly it worked. And at the end of the day, Jalen wasn't on. Their game plan wasn't working in the first half. And so to put Tua in there and watch him do what he did, a star was definitely born in Tua.
Maria Martin joining us at @Ria_Martin on Twitter, WSFA12 News. Now there's rumors that Jalen Hurts may transfer. Tua might have got his time to shine, and now there's at least Greg McElroy thinks that Jalen Hurts might transfer. Do you see the potential of that happening and Tua becoming the starting quarterback next season?
Well, before Monday, there were a lot of rumors that Tua wanted to leave. When you look at, and now everybody else has seen what we've seen from him, of course, because it was in the national championship game, but he would have been able to start at any other school in the country. I'm very confident saying that. So it's been a long time that Alabama's had two quarterbacks that were as good as Jalen and Tua are. Tua, obviously, a little bit more accurate with his arm than Jalen is. I don't expect anything less than the rumors to come out that Jalen would transfer and all of these things. But to me, nothing is solidified yet at this point. Like, yes, he did technically win them the national championship game. Tua did. But Jalen got them to that point. Not single-handedly, obviously. I'm just talking about as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
With that 25-2 record, he led them to the national championship game. So I think it would be a really good quarterback battle if he did stay. I think it would be great for Jalen to have a lot of competition, and Tua will certainly give him that. I don't think anything is solidified, and I don't think that's how Nick Saban operates either. I really don't. I don't think that he just says, okay, one game, one performance, one halftime, here's the job. He's going to make both of them work for it. So I don't expect anything less than the Jalen Hurts rumors to circulate at this point, but I think it's way too early to indicate whether he stays or goes.
Is it like a big celebration there? I know you're fairly new to Alabama, right? Because you started in South Florida.
Yeah, this is my second season.
Is it like a celebration, or is it all right? On to next year, let's go win another one. Because now it's just like they're so used to winning championships that it's like eating a slice of bread or something.
It's funny because people always joke, you know, they don't celebrate getting to the national championship. They just celebrate the wins. And it's crazy that you can even say that. And I try to tell Alabama fans all the time, you guys need to enjoy this and need to understand how truly special this is. And I understand it's very easy to get complacent when you have 17 national championships, 5 in 9 years, 5 with Nick Saban. I mean, those numbers are absurd, especially this day and age, this day and age in college football, I think it's easy to look past it just because they're so frequent for Alabama, but it still is a really big celebration. I mean, I walked into my station yesterday, and we're pretty split between Auburn and Alabama. We've got some Troy fans sprinkled in there, some Alabama State and stuff like that, but it's pretty evenly split between Auburn and Alabama. But every Alabama fan was still so excited. I mean, they were wearing their houndstooth, and it was the day after it worked. So, yeah, it's a big celebration. There were a lot of people waiting for the tide at the airport and all that good stuff. So, I don't know. I guess it's pretty split. Some people are pretty complacent about it. Oh, it's another one, but still a big celebration, I think.
A true dynasty for the Crimson Tide. Maria Martin at Maria underscore Martin, WSFA News. Appreciate you coming on, Maria. Get some rest. Try and get a 12 straight hours, which is so hard to do, and have some coffee. Good talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Have a good day.
All right. Take care, Maria. Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.